Welcome to Jay Sekulow Weekend, your source for the latest news, information, and insight for the legal, cultural, and political issues that matter most. Now, Jay Sekulow Weekend.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're coming to you from Strasbourg, France. The issue, and it's one that we're very concerned about, involves this whole defamation of religion, which is causing quite a problem at the United Nations. The problem is you've got an organization that is very heavily involved in Islamic outreach, and it involves Islamic countries. And Jordan, this organization is proposing a definition that basically will outlaw the proclamation of Christianity through a, and we've gone through the procedures today, folks, and this will be on the docket basically with the UN in September. So it's quite serious, and this defamation of religion is going to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, just to tell everybody quickly about this organization, it's called the Organization of the Islamic Conference. This is a massive organization. The only intergovernmental organization bigger than the OIC is the United Nations itself. So the OIC is an intergovernmental organization made up of basically every Arab, Muslim, or Muslim nation in the world, not just Middle Eastern. People are surprised, though, there's two South American members in this 57-country, 57-state intergovernmental body, which is a huge body, because when they put forward this kind of move in the United Nations to put forward this kind of declaration, they have agreed upon that, which means they are not breaking off. Even though some of these countries impose their version of Islamic law different ways, they have agreed to support this legislation.
Yeah, an interesting also aspect of this, folks, is the fact that if you read the way they're defining human rights law now, the Islamic countries, and this is all the ones that signed on to this, 47 or 48 of them, have agreed that Islamic law will determine human rights law. In other words, if there's a conflict between human rights law, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, with Sharia law, that becomes a crime. And Stuart, that is quite serious.
Well, absolutely, Jay. That's happening all over the world, not just the Middle East. There were reports over the weekend from the United Kingdom of these issues arising there, and they could arise in the United States, where they want to import their law. They want to use their law as opposed to the law of the native country. So in the United Kingdom, these groups and organizations, they want to use Sharia law to settle their own problems and their own issues instead of the law of the country in which they're situated. And so that could cause a serious threat to the stability of any nation.
I think we have to be realistic, folks, and understand the nature of the threat we're talking about here. They want to make the preaching of Christianity a violation of international law and a violation that in some of these countries is punishable by death. I'm holding in my hands a file that we received in the last 2 days from a couple that are now residing temporarily in the United Kingdom. They are converts from Islam to Christianity. We've got information from their church. They are being threatened to be returned to Syria because the UK doesn't want to recognize their right to get a political asylum. But the problem is that the turning from Islam to Christianity is called apostasy. And under these laws, and Jordan, you've been checking these out. Some of our government affairs staff has been over here as well. It's punishable by death.
That's right. That's right. Iran is actually a member of this organization. So when you look at it, there are many moderate, what you'd call Muslim organizations, Muslim states in this organization, in the OIC. But there are also the extremist groups. Countries like Sudan are members. Countries like Iran are members, alongside the more moderate countries like Morocco and Jordan and other places which have been okay on human rights. But they have come together to form this organization. Countries which aren't even predominantly Muslim want to get in this because of the amount of money these countries hold together with the oil. It's, again, the second biggest intergovernmental organization in the world, next to only the United Nations, and this has become a major voting block within the UN so that they can block important declarations and put forth these declarations which would allow people, which would justify under human rights law, murdering and killing people who, in their words, quote, defame Islam.
Yeah, which means if you speak out against the Prophet Muhammad, you're going to be defaming Islam. We've seen that reaction globally. Here's what we're doing. We come back from the break. We're going to go through the procedure, folks. Looks like we're before the UN on that situation literally in September. So a lot to talk about there. But we're taking a stand against this, and we want you to join us in this process. Here's what we want you to do. I encourage you to go to your phones right now. There's a number we want you to call. Add your name to a petition going to the UN's Human Rights Declaration Commission, their Human Rights Commission, to say no to mandatory, basically, Islam, and yes to religious freedom, which means you can proclaim the gospel. Here's the number. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. and sign up online. You call right now, 877-989-2255.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org. Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless service, 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 month of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Justice Scalia wrote in his dissenting opinion just 2 weeks ago, America is at war with radical Islamicists. If you agree with that statement, I'd like to hear from you today. We want to hear what you have to say. Do you think that America is at war with radical Islam? What about the rest of the world? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want to hear what you have to say about the situation, Jordan. I know we've got a lot of calls coming in. Who do we have?
Let's go right to the phones. Debbie's calling from Oregon. Debbie, welcome to JSecul Live.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I feel like, by degree, I feel like I'm kind of losing my mind. Can you explain to me why it is that conservative talk shows are, they will not acknowledge, they're not even mentioning anything about the Fairness Doctrine?
Well, I don't know. Last week, I will tell you, we've been discussing the Fairness Doctrine the last two weeks, and the fact is that I saw Sean Hannity was talking about it, Laura Ingraham was talking about it, Rush was talking about it, and I think it has gotten a lot of press. It's not getting a lot of mainstream press. We're going to get back to it. They're on recess, and so you know at this point, we're going to build support for that. We're going to come back to the Fairness Doctrine probably in a couple of weeks. But this gives you a perfect example. Let me talk about this program that we're doing today. This would deem to be controversial radio. Why? Well, it would, to some, you're speaking out against Islam. Now, what are you going to do? Give an equal 30-minute opportunity for the Islamic Center for Law and Justice to come on the air and discuss, you know, it paid for, by the way, by your contributions to listener-supported radio, which is what they would be asserting, basically. So this is the risk. This is what you've got to deal with. This is what you have to recognize is going on right now. And in Europe, and also, by the way, you know, this problem of these Islamic organizations uniting at the UN is not something just limited to the UN, folks. Remember, it was just 3 weeks ago in Texas, we were talking about the Council of American Islamic Relations inside a junior high in Texas, giving a basically a propaganda message, and no one speaking out against it until the pastors in the community, and we got involved on it nationally and backed it down. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't take a stand on these issues, it's getting very serious. This threat from Islam, we've been in Europe and the Middle East for 5 weeks now. I will tell you, folks, it is serious stuff.
Well, Jay, it's real. As you said, we've been traveling for 5 weeks. We've been in Israel, all over the Middle East. We've been all over Europe, and basically it's a threat. It's a threat that the native populations in these countries are really concerned about. Here in France, there's a huge Islamic threat. There's a radical Islamic element here that basically is trying to make its way into mainstream thought, and they're doing it by some of these procedures, the defamation of religion. They're using UN, they're using the individual countries to spread their message and vision into the communities. And as we know, they're very patient, and they want to get their point across. And they're wearing some people down, and it's of concern. And in parts of Europe, they call it Eurabia, because the population by birth rate is tremendous, and so their population is increasing, their message is increasing, and they're forcing their message on other people, and they're putting a lot of pressure on Christians, especially in the Middle East. We know that the Christians, the Arab Christians, are having a very, very difficult time. They're under constant pressure and constant threats to practice their Christianity. And basically, if the radical Islamic threat is not stopped, we know in the Middle East, because we were there for 3 weeks, there'll be no Christians left in the Middle East.
Yeah, well, we saw that in Bethlehem. You see that now in Nazareth. I mean, these are towns where Jesus' ministry took place. Even the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee region, is becoming majority Islamic. But here's the problem, folks. They are trying to basically train and turn the definition of religious freedom. Religious freedom used to be that the state would not interfere with the individual religious practices of its citizens, and they would be able to promulgate your views. You'd have Bible study. By the way, in Algiers, if you have two Bible verses on you, they deem one available for distribution. Penalty there, by the way, death. That's what it is if you're caught with Bible verses, more than one. You're allowed one, but if you have two, I'm not talking about a Bible now, folks. I'm talking about a Bible verse. If you have two, it's a violation, because that's deemed to. So you either go away to jail and they'll never hear from you again, or literally face death. Now you've got this huge Islamic organization, which is basically organized inside the United Nations to put forward this defamation of religion prohibition, a resolution they want to get out of the Human Rights Council, then ultimately the General Assembly. By the way, it looks like the Human Rights Council hearings are going to be in September, and I will tell you, they're going to be in Geneva, and I will assure you that a full group of ACLJ and ECLJ lawyers are going to be there to stand up against this, because this is a serious and real threat. But, and I need to let you know this, this is a tremendous challenge because they exercise a lot of influence. Now, I want you to go to your phones right now if you're listening to us and call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can also go to aclj.org and get more information that way.
It's, when we go and we look at these groups and this organization, I think the shocking thing here, folks, and what you have to understand is it passes of this kind of declarations through the United Nations, making this kind of declaration, getting it through the Human Rights Committee, and then onwards to the General Assembly, with a voting block of 57 countries, most of which don't have good human rights records at all. Even those with good human rights records are barely hanging on, usually, in that field. And they've united with countries like Sudan and Iran and others, which are known violators of human rights law, Saudi Arabia and others, every single day. But here's what you have to understand. If this law goes through, what it does is take away the application of human rights law, the human rights law that most of these countries, all but 10, have signed on to support and follow in their countries, takes it out of that realm and says, if you're attacking Islam, it's a violation of human rights law, and we can punish the individual for doing that, punish the individual for attacking the organization of that religion. And punishment in these countries for everything from stealing to blasphemy to all apostasy is death. That's the penalty.
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further, and this is something you've got to really understand and deal with, and that is when you're engaged in this kind of global issue that's significant, you have to realize that the fight here is also very significant, because they are turning the definition of human rights and trying to base it on Sharia law. That's their own statements, folks. That's what they're saying. So it's really quite serious.
Well, not only that, Jay, I think the ironic thing is that they're claiming discrimination. But in most of those Arab countries, most of those prevalently Islamic nations, you cannot practice any other faith other than Islam. You can't be a practicing Jew. You can't be a practicing Christian. If you practice your faith, you can get thrown out of jail. You can get thrown in jail. You can get deported. You can get executed. You cannot practice your faith in any of those nations. But yet, they go into the UN, they get together, and they start practicing, drafting policies which discriminate against Christians and other faiths. So they use the UN as a toy for them to get together and for them to coalesce into policies such as this. But it's those nations themselves that don't allow other faiths to practice their religion, but yet they're claiming they're discriminated against.
And folks, here's the reality of all of this, and that is the fact that you've got a situation where right now you've got to understand that this defamation of religion will outlaw the proclamation of Christianity, and we got to stand against Islam here. It's that simple and that straightforward. Here's the number, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
We got a lot of calls coming in. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Tim is calling from Colorado. Tim, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I am calling because I don't like the statement radical Islam. They are no more radical than I am a radical Christian. I am a good Christian. Anybody that reads the Quran and embraces Islam is radical. They're all radical. The Quran states, kill Christians and Jews. It also states, if your wife is disobedient, beat her. It's not just the radicals. It's any...
Oh, no, listen. I'm telling you, I'm quoting from a Supreme Court opinion. Understand that what I'm doing here is really quoting from a Supreme Court opinion that deals with this. That's where the problem is. It's a Supreme Court opinion where Justice Scalia says America's at war with radical Islamicists. There's no real... If you're deemed a moderate Muslim, the most Muslims don't consider you a practicing Islamicist. That's the fact. So they do view it that way, and that's the problem here, and that's one thing we have to take very, very seriously.
Yeah, Jay, I think I agree with that. I really believe that, you know, Islam is a faith that's practiced in a lot of different ways in a lot of different parts of the country. But the problem is that the people in power have radical ideas, and those are the ones that flew on 9/11, and those are the ones that are a threat to all modern Western nations. And again, we just came from the Middle East. Christianity, which is the only other evangelical faith in the world, is trying to survive in a very, very difficult place. And so these ideas that are spread at the UN, that are drafted into policies and conventions and procedures, these are the reasons that we are at the UN. These are the reasons that we have to be in Geneva and New York to let our message be heard loud and clear.
Iran, Sudan, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, these countries, Saudi Arabia, have put these laws in place, and now they're trying to make it a national norm. Take it a step further. In Iran, right now, two Christians are arrested, put in jail, charged with activities against the holy religion of Islam. What were they doing? Reading the Bible with Muslims, and now they're threatening to take their 4-year-old daughter and put her into an institution as part of the penalty here.
And here's something shocking about Iran, or maybe not shocking if you were listening to the program yesterday. Because of this case, they're considering the head mullahs of Iran, the head religious leaders of Iran, who come up with the actual laws that are followed, whether or not to make this crime, apostasy, mandatory death sentence. Right now, it is a death sentence that the judge can put forward. They want to make it mandatory so that the judge has no decision.
Here's what we want you to do, folks. If you want to take a stand against Islam, and we are encouraging you to do so, you go to your phones right now. The number, 1-877-989-2255. This is, by the way, a petition you're signing going to the UN Human Rights Council, which is where the hearing is going to be in September. We had a huge response yesterday between phone calls and internet, almost 2,000 people. You need to stand up against Islam. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also sign up online and get updated information at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ wireless service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits.
For many of us, college didn't happen when we thought it would. We got busy with jobs, family, life. But that doesn't mean a college degree is out of your reach. You don't have to put everything else on hold to go back to school. As a Regent University student, you can take all your classes online. Sessions begin every 8 weeks, so you can fit your class schedule to your life schedule. With degrees ranging from global business to religious studies, you'll get the education you've always wanted in a way that fits your life today. Regent offers both 2- and 4-year degrees. And with more than $1.9 million in scholarships and grants awarded to undergraduate students this year alone, a private college education may be closer than you think. Visit ApplyToRegent.com.
or call 1-888-REGENT-U to find out more about our degree programs, scholarships, and grants.
Folks, welcome back to the broadcast. Coming to you from our offices at Strasbourg, France, the European Center for Law and Justice. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I want to make it clear, it is Justice Scalia's dissenting opinion that I'm quoting from, where he says, America is at war with radical Islamicists. He said, today, for the first time in our nation's history, the court confers a constitutional right on alien enemies detained abroad by our military forces in the course of an ongoing war. He then says, the enemy began by killing Americans and American allies abroad, 241 at the Marine Barracks in Lebanon, 19 at Khobar Towers in Dahrain, 224 at our embassies in Dar es Salaam and Nairobi, and 17 on the USS Cole in Yemen. And then he says America is at war with these radical Islamicists and has been threatens of further attacks are evident. Who's it coming from? Radical Islamicists. Our phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Now, some are you going to say, Jay, why are you saying radical Islamicists? I'm quoting a Supreme Court opinion here. That's what I'm quoting. We've got a lot of calls coming in. Let's go right to them.
Bud's calling from Florida. Bud, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bud.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Everything you guys do on that station. And my comment today is on the Broadcasters Freedom Act. You and the rest of the Christian broadcasters pay for your time on the radio, and I agree that anybody opposing our opinion really has the right to do so, but not free. Let them buy their time.
But what's going to happen, and this, I'm using today's program as the typical example, the networks will simply not air these programs. They're too controversial. That's going to be the problem. So if you put a fairness doctrine and you have a week-long special broadcast from the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France, on Islam and the attempt by Islamic countries, which you're not getting in the mainstream media, to put together a resolution to the United Nations making it illegal to proclaim Christianity because it would be the defamation of Islam, believe me, the network will just take these programs off the air. So if the fairness doctrine ever got through, and I'm very concerned about that, especially with changes in administrations, and it just could be, an FCC matter. They don't even have to have congressional action. The fact is that these programs will just not be heard. That's what's going to happen here,
well,
Stuart.
Well, they're not going to be heard, and there's so many different issues with the fairness doctrine. One, there's the financial aspect. But two, Jay, if you have to give equal time in a 30-minute program to somebody else, it effectively takes the microphone out of your hands. So basically, you don't have 30 minutes to basically share with the listeners what you need to share. Basically, the microphone is taken out of your hands. It's given to some opposing view, regardless of whether they have to pay or not. That's another issue, but it takes time away from what you need to say.
And what we want to say right now is this threat of Islam is significant, and we're responding globally. We've got our global resources at the ACLJ and ECLJ and our European affiliates all engaged in what is a huge battle. It's going to take place. Showdown's going to be at the UN in September. We're getting ready for that now. A lot to go on.
Let's go back to the phones. James is calling from Washington. James, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, James.
Yes, good morning. Hey, Jay, I heard this morning that there's two kids in Pakistan being held in madrasas, and they said estimated about 660-something kids, American citizens, are being trained in radical Islam. And I find this very disturbing. If we're at war with these people, and they're at war with us, obviously, that we have our children, American citizens, being taught in madrasas to come home and turn around and be terrorists.
Well, let me tell you something. It's not just Pakistan. Go down your street. I hate to be that blunt, folks. Look, I mean, there is no doubt that in the last year in Europe and in the Middle East, and we've been here now for 5 weeks, 3 weeks in Europe, 2 weeks, 2 weeks in Europe, 3 weeks in the Middle East. We went to the border of Syria and the border of Lebanon. We went into the Nazareth. We went into these communities. There's no doubt about it. Jordan was in Geneva just a few days ago, and everywhere you went, you're seeing more and more references to Islam. It's becoming the predominant. I don't want to get paranoid saying they're taking over, but the fact is there's a global move afoot, and if you speak out against Islam, you're creating a legal crisis right now.
We don't want to say they're taking over, but let me put it this way. There's no other organized religious group like Islam at the moment in world history, at the history that we're living in. There's no other union of countries other than the United Nations, which is everyone, including a lot of countries who don't like each other and don't get along and would likely be at war with each other this moment they had a chance to be without the United Nations. This group is different. They've got a united purpose, and they're the second biggest group. When it comes down to it, at the end of the day, they're all Muslims, predominantly Muslim. Their populations are 98, 99, 97% Muslim. India wanted to join. They said no. even though India would be another major country. These are huge countries joining because their population didn't have enough Muslims in it. That doesn't mean that one day they won't be a member of this organization if Islam spreads. Countries want to be part of this, especially the developing world, because this is the new developing world.
Yeah, and Russia, by the way, is the only country with observer status, which tells you a very troubling sign.
Well, and this is the problem with radical Islam, is that basically they feel that they must spread Islam to the four corners of the world, and no other faith or religion can coexist. So basically, their goal is to snuff out all other peoples unless they convert to Islam. And no other people can exist. Those countries are not pluralistic. As Americans, we understand that everybody in America can practice their own faith. But in these countries, it's impossible.
Yeah, you have penalties death, by the way.
Let's go back to the phones. Jim's calling from Indiana. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, this is Jim Wagman. I just wanted to say that, you know, I've read a lot about what's going on over the years. And I read the Quran after 9/11. And people need to understand that it's not just Christians that these people are after. It's they want everyone to convert to Islam, or you're considered an infidel and they want to kill you.
No, you're absolutely correct. And if you read their materials and you read what they say and you follow what they're teaching, that's exactly right. It's some people say, well, they just want to, you know, be the dominant worldview. No, they want to be the only worldview, and they want everybody in submission to them. Submission, by the way, means convert or die. I mean, I hate to be this blunt. And, folks, we're obviously concerned about this because we see what's going on in the United Nations literally right now. And we're there. And we're going to be fully engaged in this. We've had meetings with our senior staff, with former Attorney General John Ashcroft, and we brought a lot of talent in, a lot of lawyer, legal help, a lot of government affairs people, because we know this challenge is huge. You go to your phones right now, make a stand against this defamation of religion, as they're calling it, this Organization of Islamic Conference, which is huge. We need to be a voice to be heard. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255.
Let me walk through something for everyone. In the Quran, this is not even Sharia law, which is more extreme than the actual Quranic law, but in the Quran, there's two important teachings. One is that when you're weak as a religion, when you're weak as a Muslim group, an Islamic group, Muhammad taught that you should make peace and that you should get along until you're big enough to violently take over if you have to. Or if not, you just take over because of population. You see many Muslims doing peaceful takeovers in countries around the world. They're not going in there with swords. They're going in there with their Quran, just like Christian missionaries would go in, but they're taking over political organizations. The second thing in the Quran is the importance that even Allah can lie, but you can lie too if you're a Muslim to non-Muslims, which means you can say you're having peace, and then 10 years down the road, when you're strong enough to take over, the peace is over. You've done nothing morally wrong.
Well, and Jay, the reason we're at the UN, as you know, is because the UN is a place where all these organizations seem to meet and distribute their ideas and turn them into policies and distribute them throughout the world. So the UN, the ECLJ, the ACLJ, we're totally engaged in Geneva and New York, where all these ideas are being spread, and we're trying to basically stop these ideas at the doorstep.
Here's what we've got to do, folks. We had a meeting today, and we discussed the fact that time is not on our side here. In fact, John Ashcroft made the statement that if you could delay this, it would be better. It would give you time to build up more coalitions. But we're fighting the largest coalition in the United Nations. That coalition happens to be Muslim. They are trying to get a defamation of religion bill passed as a resolution out of the Human Rights Council and ultimately through the General Assembly. It would, in essence, amend the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which means religious freedom, the ability to share the gospel, would be deemed criminalized. The penalty, death. This is because these now become nation states. The nations then adopt these individual laws as well. And the reports are voluminous of what's going on around the world. We're going to stand up against this. A very bold move to be this aggressive on this. But we need everybody. I want everyone that's listening to me right now, every single person that is listening to me right now, to go to your phones and you call this number. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You're adding your name to a petition going to the UN Human Rights Council to speak out against this issue of the defamation of religion. Go to your phones right now. It's critical we hear from everyone that's listening. 1-877-989-2255. We don't want to stand by while they make Christianity a crime. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.